This podcast is brought to you by CE Pro Magazine, the leading magazine in the business of custom electronics.
Understanding how consumers use the internet to research and shop for consumer electronics was the topic of a CEA Industry Forum panel October 17th at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. Tim Herbert, Senior Director of Market Research at CEA, moderated the panel, which featured Les Krueger, Director of Online Sales and Marketing at Singular Wireless, Paul O'Brien, Strategic Manager of Interactive Marketing at HP's Direct-to-Home and Consumer Home Office Store, and David Rubenstein, Tech and Telecom Category Director at Yahoo. Reporting from the Fairmont Hotel, PodTech.net brings you highlights from the session.
I'm Todd Thibodeau from the Consumer Electronics Association, and this session this morning will feature a series of panelists, including our own Tim Herbert, Senior Director of Market Research at CEA. Let me introduce Tim, and we'll get started with the session.
We're going to start with a foundation of sizing the consumer electronics market to help establish and to provide some context to the research that we will see throughout the presentation. We're really going to focus on the role and importance of online research in terms of how consumers are using it to shop, to make purchase decisions, and so forth. A quick note about methodology. The bulk of the research that you will see today was from a study fielded in late July. It was a collaboration between Yahoo and CEA. It was an online survey conducted to a random national sample of adults. And we really focused on two key groups. And these are purchasers and intenders, those intending to buy in the past 6 months. Purchasers, those who purchased in the past 6 months. And with any research study, there's always trade-offs. You can cover a lot of products and you can't go that deep, or you can focus on a few key areas and really go and delve deeply into some of the issues. And what we did here, we focused on a few key product categories. We focused on digital cameras, cell phones, television, laptop, desktop computers, and portable digital music players. So throughout this research, we're really focusing on these categories. And again, these categories are large and very significant to the industry. And in many cases, the results, you can assume that it's really a proxy for how consumers would react across other product categories. We will cover some differences, but in general, you can use these results as a proxy for many different categories. To set the foundation, according to the National Retail Federation, and they use Commerce Department data, the total projected retail for 2006 is $4.6 trillion. And for the consumer electronics industry, we expect $168 billion. This is CEA's forecast, which was developed in July. And as we saw in the holiday forecast yesterday, we may even be in for a pleasant surprise. In terms of online sales, total online sales, about $211 billion. That is up 20%, expected to be up 20% over 2005. For consumer electronics, again, these are NRF and shop.org numbers. Their definition of consumer electronics, which is fairly narrow, they expect it to be $9.8 billion, which is up 23% over 2005, so substantial growth. And if you add in other categories, such as computer peripherals, video games, and toys, the consumer electronics online expenditure is really closer to $30 billion. To continue to set the stage, consumers spend a lot of time researching. We see that roughly 61%, from the time they become interested in a product to the time they actually make the purchase, 61% are spending more than a week. So conversely, 39%, you may not consider it to be a pure impulse buy, but they're spending less than 1 week to make their decision. The bulk of consumers, 77%, are using the internet in some capacity to help research, to establish what brands are interested in, and so forth. And we're going to go into much more detail in a little bit. And across these categories that we studied, consumers are spending on average 12 hours. And there is a positive correlation between the price point and the amount of time, as you would expect. Someone spending several thousand dollars on a display or a computer, they're spending more time researching than someone who's buying a digital camera or a cell phone at a lower price point. And certainly there's a few differences in the amount of time spent as well. Men will spend just a little bit more time than females. And also another key point, the amount of time has increased over the years. And looking at past CE research, we find that consumers now are spending more time, and that's a function of there's more sources, but also it's probably a function of products now are more complex. You're no longer buying a product that is an island. You have to consider DRM issues. You have to consider connectivity issues and so forth. So it cuts both ways. An educated consumer is the most profitable consumer, so it's also good that consumers are informed buyers, less likely to return products and so forth. As we saw earlier, the bulk of purchases are made at traditional stores. For the products that we studied, 29% purchased the product online. And this has held steady for many years now, but computer products are most likely to be purchased online. In this study, television was the product least likely to be purchased online. And we see this in other categories as well. Products that people really want to evaluate, picture quality, sound quality, they want to see it, they want to touch it, and so forth. Looking at the retail space, though, we have 31% that they visited multiple stores, and then 40% they visited one store and they made their purchase. And you can probably take away a few things. One, they may have done their research beforehand. They know what they're going to buy. They use various online sources. They used print sources. They used friends and family. They made their decision. They went to a retail store and they made their purchase. Others, 31%, more likely to visit a range of stores to make their decision. But you see, regardless, there's still an enormous impact of the online having an impact on the offline. So to sum up the sizing section, if you look at the first 6 months of the year, consumers will have spent roughly $32 billion on the products that we studied. And this is ties very closely to CEA shipment data. The online impact, just for the first 6 months, $25 billion. And that's really why we're here today. The dollars at stake are enormous. And if you make the assumption that the 77%, if you apply that to all product categories, the impact of online research approaches $100 billion. So certainly there is a lot to understand here in terms of how this impacts your products and businesses. And consumers will consider, depending on the product category, a range of brands. We see on the high end for television, they will consider 5 brands. And this is directly what consumers told us in terms of, we asked them specifically, what were the brands that you considered? And this is definitely a function of the number of brands available. And it is also, though, definitely something that has changed over time. With the ease of evaluating different products, because of just the abundance of information available, consumers are more likely to consider a range of brands. Years ago, without the same type of consumer feedback, without the same type of reviews, consumers may have been less likely to consider an unknown brand. And following up on the number of brands, consumers will use, on average, 6 sources of information. And these are a net of 21 different sources that we evaluated. So the online sources, that is a net of search engine, a net of a manufacturer website, a net of a retailer website, and so forth. So if you go down the line and look at some of the specifics, we still see friends and family. Word of mouth still plays a key role in any purchase decision. And this is really unchanged. Looking back at earlier CEA data from 2000, 1999, consumers still cite this as one of their primary sources of information. But there is something very interesting about this point that I'll make in just a minute. And this is what has changed over the past couple of years. The emergence of consumers using search engines, and also there has been a shift. Consumers now are using retail websites at a higher rate than they did 5 years ago. They're still continuing to rely heavily on manufacturer websites as well, and then also, of course, the retail store experience. And demographically, there are not significant differences between men and women. There are some differences between younger age segments and older age segments. As we saw earlier, what the type of recall that they have, younger are more likely to remember internet, television. Some of the older age segments more likely to recall print, and that is also just a function of the sources of media that they're still continuing to use. And then we followed up and asked consumers to explain how exactly they're using some of these different sources. And what you see here, it is really an average. It's a type of index, and we averaged all these sources. And if there was a change from the average, it is indicated here. So you see with an online search, and certainly online search is a means to an end. Consumers are using it as a tool to get to other types of information sources. But consumers are relying heavily on information websites. This would be something like a CNET, so forth. Retail websites. You see in a number of different categories, consumers are using and relying on these websites. And if there's not a check, it doesn't necessarily mean that the consumer is not using that source. It just means that they're using it at a rate below the average. So in terms of manufacturer websites, they're still using it to gauge pricing information and learn about new brands and features, just not at the same rate. And then looking at some of the more traditional resources, we definitely see consumer reviews, magazines, retail displays, and friends and family. And one of the follow-ups, we did look at the credibility issue. Where do you put the most faith when you are making these decisions? And the one thing interesting about friends and family, it actually rated much lower than something like consumer reviews or magazines. So consumers, they use their family, but they don't necessarily trust them. But demographically, And this really varies by category. And this is the great thing about having so much data to work with in each of these different categories. We could really drill down and evaluate how consumers were using different sources for different product categories. But if you had to make a generalization, men were slightly more likely for some product categories to use a manufacturer website, slightly more likely to use a consumer review website. Females, slightly more likely to use a retail website, slightly more likely to use, and they're both roughly same rates of using search engines. But again, we're really only covering the highlights here, but there are definitely, the takeaway is though that it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And then one of the other key metrics that we always study when we do these types of studies, we want to find out where the product is in its product life cycle. And many products, as we heard yesterday, they are really approaching their peak. The transition from analog to digital has really reached the mainstream, the mass, and the later adopters. But this provides some very interesting types of insight into where consumers are, and are they on an upgrade path? Are they on a pure replacement path? Or are they holding steady, meaning they have not made a decision to purchase the product. For something like television, we do find that the incidence of using manufacturer websites, using search engines, is higher relative to these other product categories. For something like digital camera, we found that using information sites and using a search engine was more likely. And some of this probably stems from consumers. Once they have owned the product, they have a general feel for its features. They have an idea of what they're looking for already. They are more likely to go directly to the site that they want to use relative to someone that is entering a product for the first time. And certainly displays, there are a lot of options. There are different technologies to consider and so forth. So consumers, at that point, they're really looking to capture as much information as they can and use that to help narrow down their selections. And now I'm going to turn it over to Dave, and he's going to help connect the dots and help draw some conclusions from what we first saw.
David Rubenstein, Tech and Telecom Category Director at Yahoo.
So one of the things that Tim talked about is Tim talked about the size of the consumer electronics marketplace. He also talked about the impact of online. I'm going to drill into online a little bit more, and I'm going to look at three specific areas. The first thing I'm going to look at are manufacturer websites. I'm going to look at retailer websites. And I'm going to look at the role that search engines play in the research process. Yahoo and the Consumer Electronics Association took on a very interesting path in gathering this research. In addition to the survey, what we did is we asked customers up front, which is the research that you saw earlier, a number of questions about how they felt about a particular manufacturer. Then what we did is we dropped them off on a website. And half the people we dropped off on a manufacturer website, and the other half we dropped off on a retailer website. Then we brought them back and we asked them a series of questions. And what we did is we measured the lift in what they thought about a manufacturer brand before going to a manufacturer site, and then what they thought of a brand after going to a manufacturer site. Within the study, we tested 12 different brands. We aggregated the data, but if you are one of those 12 brands, you can come see us afterwards and we can give you your specific data. So I think that the biggest takeaway as you look at the information is that manufacturer websites can have a very significant impact on how people view your brand. In this particular case, we looked at a number of different areas. When you see that first number, that 11-point lift, the way to interpret that is, for the statement is, wide variety and selection to choose from. So again, we asked people a number of questions about a specific manufacturer, then we took them to a website for 2 minutes, and then we brought them back and we asked them a series of questions. So to see a lift of 11 points from spending 2 minutes on a website is really incredibly powerful. When you look at other factors like innovative products, they think your product's 8 points higher as a result of spending 2 minutes on a website. It's also interesting when you look on the right-hand side where you see the retailer component. So again, these are people who thought something about a manufacturer's product, and then that set of people were taken to a retailer site. And on that second point, well-designed and good-looking, there was a 5-point lift when they went to a retailer site. So I think that the big takeaway here is if people are thinking positive things about your brand, whether they go to a manufacturer site or a retailer site, there's an opportunity to really drill home what they're thinking and, in fact, enhance it. We wanted to bring that up a level and really look at some of the things that you all probably measure your business based on, things like brand commitment, things like leadership and persuasion. So we put a number of statements in front of customers who'd actually been to a website and asked them, for instance, it's my favorite brand, the only one I would consider ahead of all others. That's what we call brand commitment. And for people who went to a manufacturer website, there was a 9-point lift on brand commitment. When you look at something like brand leadership, and by brand leadership, they're well ahead of the rest, a 6-point lift. So 2 minutes on your website could have a number of people thinking you're more of a leader. Then another cut of the data, we wanted to understand familiar versus not familiar. So by familiar, the question is posed to the customers, how familiar are you with this particular brand? And I know that the brands that were up there were listed pretty quickly. They were all pretty major brands. So the initial thought is, well, they're probably everyone's familiar. But one of the things that we did that was unique in this test is we wanted to understand big brands, but also the potential of new products for those big brands. So, you know, an example of that might be a major computing manufacturer who decides they want to get into TVs. They might be well known for laptops, but people don't necessarily know their brand in TVs or in digital cameras. So those are some of the folks that might have said, I'm not familiar with the product. And the numbers here were staggering. When you look at people who said, I'm not familiar with the brand, they spent 2 minutes on a website, and then there was an 18-point lift in thinking that brand has a wide variety. There's an 11-point lift in thinking that they have good value for the money. So again, as you're thinking about whether you're an established brand that's looking to get into a new product category, or whether you're a newer brand looking to build the brand and build awareness out there, bringing someone to your website for just 2 minutes can have an incredibly powerful impact. It's also important to note, if you look on the right-hand side, even people who were familiar with brands saw a significant lift. So again, on the variety side, there was a 7-point lift on people, even if they were already familiar with your brand. So whether they're familiar or not, one of the things that was interesting in the study is that consumers are looking for more than one device. When we talk to purchase intenders, people who are intending to buy in the next year, the average intender was looking to buy not one device, but 2 devices. So that's, and the way to read this particular chart is people who are in the market for television sets, 29% of them also say they intend to buy a digital camera this year. People who are in the market for computers, 45% of them are thinking about buying a cell phone. So obviously that has all sorts of merchandising implications, as well as website design, what you want to put next to what. But there's a significant opportunity to hit people not only for the product that they're looking for, but other products that they're going to buy as well. And following on that point, one of the things that we ask those consumers before they visit a website is, I'll use an example of a television set. A consumer is in market and they're looking to buy a TV. They go to a website and we ask them before they've even gone to the website, how likely would you be to buy another product from that manufacturer? And then we put them on a website for 2 minutes. And then we said, how likely would you be to buy another product from that manufacturer? So that person who's in the market for a television set might now be open to buying a digital camera or a computer or a cell phone from that same manufacturer. So I would refer to this almost as a halo effect that your brand has from just that 2 minutes spent on your website. Then we came across some directional information that I thought was interesting. We brought people to two different types of pages on manufacturer website. The first type of page was what I'd call a brand page or a home page. So that's kind of the general page that if you typically typed in a URL, that's the site that you'd arrive at. And then the second one was a product-specific page. So that might be if you're looking for a TV set or digital camera and you'd actually see the specific digital cameras or products, that'd be a product-specific page. And what we found was pretty consistently the product page scored higher. So bringing people to specific information about a product across the metrics that we tracked had a very significant positive impact. It's also important to mention that on the brand side, you'll notice all of those numbers, with the exception of the last one, are up as well. So it's positive on both, but it was slightly higher when we looked at product-specific pages. So the average consumer who's in market is visiting 6 websites before they make a purchase. 6 different websites. And the logical question is, well, how do they get there? What's driving that? Sometimes they know the URL and sometimes they don't. So what we found was that 55% of people who end up on a manufacturer's website get there from a search engine. 46% knew the address already and typed the URL in, but 55% got there from a search engine. So what I'd like to do is spend the next section drilling into search engines so we can all understand a little bit more about the role that a search engine can play within consumer electronics. Tim talked earlier about the number $32 billion, right? $32 billion in the last 6 months in the 5 product categories. That's the dollars that consumers spent in this marketplace. Well, of that, 47% was influenced by search engines. These are people who said to us, I made a purchase, I went online first, I went to a search engine, and I researched. So as you're thinking about tools that are out there, realize that half the people out there who are buying consumer electronics devices are leveraging search engines before they buy. And we asked them, these are people who intend to buy in the next year, we said, we already know you use search engines, and we put a mock search box in front of them, and we said, let's say you told us you're in the market for a television set, we've given you this mock search engine, how are you going to look for the television set? That's what we asked them. We asked them to enter in all of the words that they would use in order to help them with the search. And then we categorize them. So you'll notice because they could enter more words, the numbers aren't going to add up to 100. But what we saw was that 2/3 of the people out there were looking for a really general product. So I think as marketers, we all assume that people instantly are looking for our brand and they're gravitating. But what we're seeing is that in many cases with consumer electronics, because there are so many choices out there, people are thinking very, very broad, and they're starting broad. They're starting to look on terms like cell phone and laptop and desktop and MP3 player. That's how consumers are searching. 1/3 of the people are looking at brands. They're looking at the major brands, and I'll give plugs to my friends here from Singular and HP. They're looking for those brands. But 2/3 of the people out there are starting general. So let's try to understand a little bit more about what is someone who buys a consumer electronics, what are the people who are searching, the people who are using search engines to buy consumer electronics, what's different about them? What can we learn about those people if we want to market to them? And I think the first thing that we learn is that they're open to more brands. So what we find is that these people are looking at the people who use search engines are open to 5 brands. The people who don't use search engines are only open to 4. The people who use search engines are using 8 sources to gather information, 8 different places they're gathering information. That could be TV, print, friends and family, all sorts of online sources, but 8 sources. The person who doesn't use a search engine is only using 4. And I think the last point, which is perhaps may even be the most interesting, is that people who leverage search engines are 114% more likely to interact with graphical advertising. So I'll tell you what that means. That means that anyone in this audience could be in market for a TV set. You're using a search engine. You're looking around. You've done your research over a period of weeks. And then you see a graphical advertisement. And you've been looking for a TV. And you see an offer that's compelling. And it's something that you've been looking at. Your likelihood to click on that ad is going to be a lot higher because you're in market, because you've already done your homework. Now, there are also a handful of people out there that aren't using search engines, and we wanted to understand for those folks that aren't, why aren't they? And I'll just read one of the quotes from you, from someone in the survey. They said, "I like to go into the store, which has knowledgeable salespeople, and where I can look at the actual computers. I think it's important to realize that while today we're focused on online, retail isn't going away, and that will continue to be a very important part of a holistic strategy." We also wanted to understand these consumers who are using search engines, who are trying to buy, who are getting ready to buy consumer electronics devices, is there anything different about them from a demographic standpoint? Anything that can help us market to them better? And unfortunately, we didn't find anything. What we found was that these people were more prone to use the internet, but that didn't surprise us. So we didn't find anything from a demographic standpoint. But what we did find was a very fundamental difference in mindset. So we placed a number of statements in front of these consumers, these people who are actually, you know, in market, and we sliced it by people who use search engines and people who don't. And the first statement, I think, is probably the most powerful. "Friends always ask my opinion on new products, trends, and entertainment." There's a 14-point difference between people who use search engines and people who don't. So people are asking searchers what they think. And the reason they're asking what they think is because, as we saw 2 slides ago, they're looking at 8 sources. So because they're doing so much research, people are consistently turning to them. You know, another point that I think is interesting, "I consider myself very social and well-connected." So these are people that know a lot of people. The last point, "I tell people positive things about brands." 7-point lift. So as you're thinking about people to target, in many cases, you've got people who are ending up on manufacturer websites via search. You're finding that these searchers are highly engaged people, and not only are they doing their homework, but they're telling lots of other people about the homework that they're doing. So kind of to wrap up, Tim started off and he talked about the size of the market. He talked about the difference between online and offline purchasing. He told us that 71% of people out there buy products offline, 29% buy products online. Of the 71% that are purchasing offline, 3/4 of those people researched online and purchased offline. So as marketers, the challenge is on us to think about what are the metrics that we use to measure the success of our online campaign if we know that the majority of people are ultimately going to purchase offline. I think the other interesting point I'd make is we saw the number of sources of information that people are using. They're going to 6 different websites. So I think that the challenge to all of us is to make sure that one of those 6 websites is ours, because we want to control the messaging that people who are in market to buy are getting. We saw that 55% of the people that are ending up on a manufacturer's website are coming via a search engine. So we saw that those people who are coming via search are more engaged. We saw that these are people that are going to tell a friend if they like a product. So these are people that we need to think about, how do we best reach them? And I think the last point that I'd leave you with is, while we focused a lot on online today, it's important to realize that online is a critical component in a bigger marketing strategy, in a more holistic marketing strategy. And it's something that we all have to take into consideration as we're putting together our marketing plans.
You just heard highlights from an October 17th panel that looked at how consumers use the internet to research and shop for consumer electronics. Reporting from San Francisco's Fairmont Hotel at this gathering of consumer electronics industry professionals, the CEA Industry Forum, this is PodTech.net.